If you take out with me your outlines there in your bulletins, and also turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to be reading here in just a moment, verses 14 through 30. As we continue on with our series, you're making a lot of noise down there. I'm just teasing you. We're continuing on with our series. Does anybody remember what the name of our series is? Taking the stew out of stewardship. That's right. Okay. In other words, taking the worry of it out. Taking the, you know, just things and just simply doing what we've been given gifts to do. So if you would, please stand with me as we're going to read Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. If you can and are able to, please stand with me. And today I will be reading from the New King James, just to let you know. Starting with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me first 5 talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father God, we again do praise you today. We do praise you for many different things that we've already talked about, and our veterans, and just many blessings. We especially at this time, though, thank you for now hearing your word, your message for us today. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, dying and rising again, to know that we have a living Lord, a living Savior, the one who is here with us through your Holy Spirit today. So we ask you through your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have for us. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I think I asked this last week. Got a few more people here this week. Who's a Star Wars fan? Okay, I got a couple more hands here this week that might actually know what I'm talking about. Okay. In the Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back. Who's it? Is that your favorite one? He liked all of them. Okay. So in the Empire Strikes Back, there's a scene where Luke's fighter ship thingamajiggy. Okay, do you remember what it's called?
A-wing.
What?
A-wing.
Yeah, that thing there. Okay? I just call it a spaceship. Okay? It has sunk into the mud. Remember that? Okay, anyway. Okay? So it has sunk into the mud. And Luke is convinced that there's no way that that thing is going to get out of the mud. Okay? And so good old Yoda tells him to do what? What? Do or don't do. We're not quite there yet, but thank you. Okay? He tells him to go ahead and try to get it out of the mud. Tells him to use what? The Force. Now, we're not going to talk about that. Okay? But he tells him to use the Force, go ahead and get it out. And that's, of course, Luke makes that comment, okay, I will try. And Yoda says, there is no try. There's either do or don't do. There is no try. Faithful or unfaithful, all of us are stewards with something that we've been given. We're either faithful with it or we are unfaithful with what God has given to us. There is no in between. We're either faithful with it or we're not. Last week we looked at being good stewards with the time that God has given us. Today we're looking at the talents in that story that God has given us. Now in the parable, the talents is specifically talking about money. But it also means, it does mean anything that God has given us, whether it be money, a certain gift, you know, another gift, or whatever it is, that whatever God has given to us, the point of the story is this, to use it for God's glory. To use it because that's why he's given it to us, not just to sit on a shelf, which we're going to be talking about. The man going on a journey, of course, represents Christ, returning to heaven, until the day he returns or comes back for his people, for his followers. The servants are faithful followers, true believers. Or are they? That's what we have to figure out. We're going to look at this parable as like a drama. Anybody like to go to the theater? And by theater, I don't mean movie. I'm talking about theater, you know, watch a play, okay? The different acts. We're going to be looking at three different acts in this drama, with each act having one single word to describe it. The characters have been drawn. We have the setup. Their exits, their entrances are right there for us. They are in perfect sequence. The staging is clear. Act one, investiture. Act one. Now we need to take and truly understand exactly what's taking place here. This man who is leaving to go on a far off journey, depending on your version, says master, lord, man, whatever, depending on the version that you use. But the point is that he is investing in his servants. He is investing in his servants. He is supplying them with the tools that they need to do something that he has called them to do. Okay? That man may not be, that man not only is giving his talents to them, or in this case, the money, but we get the idea that he has already spent time with them on how to use this money. Okay? They have some ideas when they get the money, because we see there when they do get the money, at least two of them have some good ideas on what they're going to do with the money. Okay? And how, what they do with it. I say that he's invested time with them and trained them and just doing different things, because how many talents did he give the, without looking in your Bibles, how many talents did he give the first guy? I held it up. I kind of gave it away there, didn't I? Okay? Five. That was 6,000. 6,000 days of wages. Okay? So whatever you're making, I'll just say, you know, that's what it was, 6,000 days of wages, or give or take about 20 years. How many, depends on how many times you called in sick. The point that Jesus is making here, just as this man gave everything to the servants that they needed to take care of business, invested time in them, and taught them, as followers of Christ, Christ has invested time in us. Christ has given us what we need to serve Him, to have fellowship with Him, and to do what He has called us to do. But there are some things we need to understand or look at. One is this. Although God has given each of us certain abilities, talents, gifts, whatever word you want to use there, we do not necessarily get the same gifts or the same amount of ability in those talents. We don't all get the same gifts or same talents, and we also don't always get the same amount of the ability in those talents. We see the man who's going away giving the first guy 5. The next he gives 2. The next one he gives 1. He knows the ability of each person. He also knows the opportunities that each person is going to have. He's called each one to do something different. Each person received the same thing in this story, but a different amount. Different opportunities to serve. Christ knows us so well that we are told that He knows how many hairs are on our head. Last night I had more hairs on my head than what I do this morning. Even if they were fake, okay? You do realize, Richard, they were fake. All right. I just want to make sure, okay? Or how the men used to be, or how many some of us used to have hair. Gerald? You probably still got the same amount of hair. It's just, okay, anyway. Some of us are easier to count than others. Okay? The point is, though, is this. God knows what our skills are. He knows what our capabilities are. He also knows what our true determination in serving Him is. If Christ knows us so well, He knows the hairs on our head. He knows our heart. He knows what our determination truly is and how well we are going to truly serve Him. And that's going to have a huge impact on what He gives us and the opportunities He gives us to serve. We have to remember that. But even beyond that, God knows exactly the opportunities that He is going to bless us with. Whatever the gifts we are given, whatever the amount we have been given, whatever the opportunity we are given to use them, we are called to use those gifts to the best of our ability. And there where you're writing in called, wherever it is that we have been called, right there where it says called, I also want you right there, demanded. Demanded. It's not a request. We are called, we are demanded to do it to the best of our ability. Last week I mentioned how in high school, and you in school just don't pay attention to this part, but that I really did not try to do my best. As long as I made it through, I really didn't care. I was fine with that. Unfortunately, that's how too many followers of Christ are looking at their relationship with Christ and serving Him, or the use of the gifts that they've been given. As long as I do something, I can just kind of skim by. As long as I do something, I am fine with that. What's even worse is that so many times We decide when we've done enough. Now, I realize that as Richard gets older, there's going to be some things he can't do when he used to do. Let's say for all of us. I'm not picking on you, Richard. But that doesn't mean that God's not going to give him something else to be able to do. There's a lot of people, a lot of you, you know, I'm not trying to be rude here. There's a lot of people here today that couldn't do or can't do what they used to do when they were 20. Okay? Boy, okay, I wasn't expecting that reaction, but okay. But there's still prayer. They're simply still holding hands with somebody that's hurting. You get what I'm trying to say here? There never should be an excuse to say, I've done enough. I've put in my time. Because you know what? Christ gave us his complete self. His complete self. Christ has invested so much in us, his own life, to save us, to have that relationship with us, to work with us, in us, and through us. He has given us the example of the meaning of giving someone first place. In going to the cross, Christ gave God first place through his obedience. And he also gave us first place through his love. We are called to give him first place in the using of our gifts that he has blessed us with. Which brings us to act two. There you go. Hey, you can count. Performance. Performance. In verses 16 through 18, we see what happened after the servants got their talents. We see their performance. We see what they did. The first servant doubles what he has been given. The second servant doubled what he has been given. Now, don't get caught up in the amount or the doubling of the talents. The point is simply this. They did their best in doing what they had been blessed with. They did their best in using what they had been given. There are many times we may use a gift that we've been given, even the correct way, but the result may not always be as big or exactly as what we want it to be. And we don't need to worry about that. Let me explain it like this. I often go back and watch Billy Graham crusades and other pastors, okay, just to kind of learn from different techniques, you know, because I can still learn a little bit, believe it or not, okay? And I have to admit that there's been times, I look especially at Billy Graham when he would give the altar call, whatever you want to call it. And all these people would come down. He would be speaking in front of thousands and thousands of people. And the devil can tempt people this way and say, what am I doing wrong that I don't get the response that Billy Graham was getting? Okay? Excuse me. Sometimes we can feel like that. I have to admit, there's sometimes I feel like that. What am I doing wrong that I'm not making a difference in people's lives? What am I doing wrong? And the Holy Spirit's talked to me several different times while I'm struggling with this. And what I say is this. We're not to worry about what the final outcome is. That's in God's hands. We're simply to do what we've been called to do. It's that simple. We may be preaching to or talking to or comforting whoever, for a lot of people, you know, different friends and just different situations or whatever, and we may not see immediately any results. There may be somebody that we're trying to win to Christ. We may never see that person won to Christ. That doesn't mean that person won't be won to Christ. We are simply just to do what Christ has given us to do. To use the gift that we've been given and simply obey what Christ has called us to do. We are not called to stress over or worry about what the results will do, are going to be. We are simply to use the gift to the best of our ability, just like those two, the first two. But it's not what the third guy did. He just simply did what? Dug a hole, put it in the ground. And then he let it sit there. And what happens when you put something in the ground long enough? It starts to rot. Even gold, when you pull it out of the earth, needs to be melted down and get the impurities out of it. Okay? So when we have a gift, and we just decide, okay, I'm not going to use it, I'm going to bury it, I'm not going to do anything, you know what? That's why it's entitled to us today, part of the reason, use it or lose it. Because it will deteriorate, that gift will. If we've been given a gift of some sort, preaching, teaching, or the gifts that we've been talking about, and we are not using it the way we've been called to, or at all, there are consequences to that. Too many people who claim to be believers are hiding their gifts, hiding their talents. Now, I'm not talking about people who are struggling, you know, trying to figure out what it is. I get that. But I'm talking about people who know that the gifts that they've been given or know that what they're being called to, and they're simply just not doing it. They're putting it on the shelf. They've put them aside. Because just like that third man, they simply don't want to use it. We get scared sometimes of what people may think of us. Maybe that's why we don't use it. There's probably different reasons or whatever. But the point is this. In giving God first place in our life, we are called to do our best in using our God-given gifts. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we won't hit a wrong note on a piano once in a while or mess up from time to time. It simply means we are called to do our best. One of my favorite shows, I think I've shared this, is the show MASH. Anybody, you guys probably remember it? The younger kids have no idea what I'm talking about. Gabby knows what I'm talking about now. She actually been watching it with us. Okay, I forget what show, particular one it was, but there's one show where Father Mulcahy, he belts a guy, you know, hits him. And him and Hawkeye are talking and everything, and Hawkeye calls, you know, you can only do your best. And Father Mulcahy goes, oh, some best. And Hawkeye goes, hey, best is best. And sometimes we have to remember, our best is simply our best. And that's what we've been called to give. Which brings us then to Act 3. After we have the performances and everything that the three men have done, we have the reckoning. The reckoning. So after a long time, the Lord of the servants, this master, returns and asks his servants what they did with the money or with the talents that they had been given from him. And remember, this parable points the way to when Christ will one day return. One day when he will ask us what we did with the gifts that we were given. What we did with those things that he called us to use to glorify him. So in the reckoning, first we have the reckoning and rewards. Reckoning and rewards. The first man and the second man were each rewarded by their master with the same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And how does he end that? Enter into the joy of your Lord. He doesn't say enter into your happiness or something. He says enter into the joy of your Lord. So in realizing, you know, remembering what this is about is us using our gifts to the best of our ability to hearing from God one day or hearing from Christ one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we wait to hear one day. The focus with these two men is not how much each one made with the money that they had been given. They both had been equally faithful in the way they served their Lord. And because they had been so faithful, they were going to be giving more to rule over. But especially being the joy of their Lord. And then we have reckoning and judgment. Reckoning and judgment. When we look at this story and see the rewards that the first two men received, and then what they were given, we kind of expect that. We kind of expect that the master is going to be pleased with them. I mean, they just doubled the money that he gave them. He's going to probably be kind of happy like that. Okay? We get that. But sometimes when we look at this third guy, we get full of questions and emotions when we truly understand what this Lord and what it means to look at Jesus, what one day someone like this is going to hear. So first we have the master judged the man's character. The master judged his character, talking about this third man. Look at what the man was truly saying. I knew you were a hard man. He's actually blaming his master for not using the gift that he was given. Remember when God confronted Abraham? Or excuse me, I'm get my story right before everybody gets confused with me. Remember when Adam sinned and God came and confronted him? And God looked at Adam and asked him, you know, about it. And what did Adam say? The woman you gave me made me do this. And that's exactly what this guy is saying. He said, I know you're a hard man, master. I know you've done this. I know you do this and everything. So I was scared. And so I just went and did this. So it's your fault I didn't do this. Or I didn't use it to the best of my ability. In that we see the man's character. We see the first thing that he's not willing to fess up to his own mistake or his own wrongdoing. He's just trying to pass the buck, if you want to put it that way. The master judged his motives. The master judged the man's motives. The man was not motivated to use this gift. Now think about this. This is the master had spent some time with him before all this happened, before he gave him the talents. We talked about that. You know, spent time with them, got to know what their gifts were and just everything. The man simply was not motivated to use the gift that the master had given him. The master actually calls the man lazy. Okay, depending on your Bible there, but calls him lazy. Now in the English we pretty much understand what that means. Okay, it's not just going home on Sunday afternoon taking a nap. Okay? Because that's what I'm going to do today. Doesn't mean I've been lazy all day. But we kind of know it in the English. But in the Greek, it means thoughtless, unprofitable, injurious to somebody. In the Hebrew, the word for lazy meant disinclined to work at all. So the words they're using in the Greek and in the Hebrew kind of mean a little bit more than what the way we kind of use the word lazy. It was something very, very dramatic for him. In other words, Jesus is saying the man simply didn't want to do anything with the gift he had been given. It was refusal to do what he had been asked. He just went and buried it, which led to the final judgment. The master judged him unfit to serve. Now we're going to look and see exactly what that means. The master judged him unfit to serve. And being judged unfit to serve, the man was told that he had no part of a relationship with that master. Now go back to remember who this is representing. In other words, Jesus is saying here that if that was the, you know, the case with Jesus, someone within the situation, they are being told they have no part of a relationship with him. They have nothing to do with him, or he has nothing to do with them. He was cast out from the presence of the master. Now, you know what that means? It means they didn't get the eternity of heaven. They were cast out into the darkness. Now, this is where people get emotional and question, because we have to understand exactly what's taking place. Is this saying that spiritually speaking, that the man lost his salvation when relating this to gifts and with Christ and, you know, relating it that way? And the answer is no. The man did not lose his salvation. Jesus saying there never was a true relationship there to begin with. There's never a true relationship there to begin with. We've heard many times, and we've talked about it in different messages and teachings in Sunday school for years, about people who've done all sorts of works who think that they're going to be saved that way. And that Jesus one day is going to look at them and say, what? I never knew you. Okay? There are people who claim to be believers, but refuse to use the gifts or do the work that Christ has called them or given them to do. And this man never had a heart for his master. And there's a lot of people who think that they're believers, but never truly wanted to serve their master, wanted to serve Christ to begin with. They're kind of in it to see what they could get out of it. They were just simply going through the motions. This is why the man was cast out. He knew this master. They even done some work for him. But he never truly had a commitment to him. And this is why there will be those who will be cast out from the presence of Christ. Because they really, truly weren't saved to begin with. This story causes us to examine ourselves. What we are doing with the talents, the gifts that we have been given. Or if we are refusing to use the talents and the gifts that we've been given. Because we're just putting them out on the shelf or burying them or whatever, we have to ask ourselves, then what's our commitment to the one that we say is our Savior? And if we don't have a commitment, how can we say we're truly saved? In a few moments, we're going to be taking communion. We are told to do what before communion? Examine ourselves. Communion is a gift from Christ. We are told to take communion in reverence and in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. It's not something to be taken lightly. Well, it's the second Sunday of the month. We're just going to go through the motions. We're told to take it seriously. It's not just about Christ's death, but we are told to remember Christ, his life, his teachings, as well as his death and his resurrection, and the promise that one day he will return. The promise that one day we will all stand before him and be judged. We won't necessarily be judged for our sins, because we've truly accepted Christ as Savior, that's been dealt with. But we will be asked, What have you done with me? What have you done for me with the gift I gave you? Whatever that gift. We've all been given the gift of communion. It may not be a serving gift, but it's still a gift. Lord Jesus, we do praise you and thank you again for this day. We thank you for your message. We thank you for your love and your example of being totally devoted to us by going to the cross, dying for us and rising again. To know that you are here with us. To know that one day you are going to physically return. To know that one day, for all those who have accepted you as Savior, will one day live in glory with you, with God the Father, and together in total joy. We are thankful for that. We are thankful for this opportunity here in a few moments to remember through the taking of bread and the drinking of the juice what it is that you've done, your life, and your love for us. Lord, we do pray that if there's someone here today that's never truly asked you for forgiveness, that's never truly come to you for salvation, that they would make that decision before communion. That they would truly put their faith in you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, if there's something on our hearts that is weighing us down, a sin or whatever it may be, we ask now that you just help us to confess it to you and receive your forgiveness. We ask you to bless the bread, to bless the juice, and through the blessing upon them, to spiritually bless us as we take communion. We pray this together. Amen.